Welcome to Radio Sweden Weekly. I'm Michael Walsh. With me in the studio is Samuel Williams.
Hi.
Today, we'll be looking at how the United States and China are perceived in Sweden, and then we'll plunge into the Swedish sauna culture and talk to someone in Stockholm who gets in the heat of the sauna, even in peak summer. And we'll also hear why others might choose to avoid it. We're also going to be speaking to a scientist who's experimented to get rid of the green waters that have stopped some people from swimming around Sweden this summer. But we're starting with Deputy Prime Minister Ebba Busch of the Christian Democrats, who's in recent times expressed some regret about the way the government's migration policies have made foreign-born residents in Sweden feel.
Yeah, so previously when we've talked to representatives from the government about migration policies, they've said their policies over the last few years, tightening migration rules, in some cases to EU minimums, weren't really intended to make immigrants living here feel unwelcome. This week, we got to talk to the Deputy Prime Minister, Ebba Busch, who in recent interviews has admitted she thinks that she contributed to polarization when it comes to immigration in Sweden. In a speech that she held during the yearly political week Almedalen last month, held on the island of Gotland, she said that she'd met a young boy who automatically assumed she wanted to deport him because of his foreign background, and she said this left a deep impression on her. I caught up with the Deputy Prime Minister to ask what she meant.
I think for anyone who has been in power for a few years, it's always good to stay humble and to also evaluate the reforms that you've put in place. I can see that they have been greatly successful in terms of pushing down migration levels to Sweden. But it has also come with the downside that we have seen some groups of people in Sweden all of a sudden being unsure whether or not they're welcomed, whether or not they can be perceived as fully and truly as Swedes. And my message is clear to them. You can, you are, and the ones that are welcomed here to Sweden should fully be welcomed into the Swedish society.
Do you think there's anything in your policies that have made people feel unwelcome here?
I think that's what I tried to convey, that I can see that the reforms that we have put in place have been right, they have been successful, they have been needed, but it also came with a downside that I stay humble towards and that I'm prepared to work on when it comes to integration. I think it's very dangerous for society to welcome people here, but then all of a sudden not perceive them as fully Swedes. You can be proud of your heritage, you can be proud of your roots, you can see yourself as Persian Swede or a Swedish Bosnian or whatever, you can be both. But I would like to see a clearer and more defined policy when it comes to integration that makes it possible for people to truly see themselves as Swedes and not question whether or not they are welcomed here.
What would that look like concretely if you were to get reelected?
I think that the main feedback I get from new Swedes is there are so many undefined, unspoken rules and values. We often tend to almost downgrade our own Swedishness. But when you bring new people into Sweden, all of a sudden it becomes very, very clear that there are a set of ground values, but also ways of how we interact with each other that is actually quite clear. And to talk about those, to talk about the need to learn Swedish, the need to know about Swedish laws and rights, but also about the basic Swedish values, I think that is a main part of that integration journey.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Ebba Busch of the Christian Democrats speaking there about migration and integration in Sweden.
And if you want to learn more about what's going on in Swedish politics, we've published a whole series of stories explaining some of the more confusing aspects of Swedish politics, like why the moderates and the social democrats can't cooperate with each other, and how the Sweden Democrats managed to become a major party despite their past ties to neo-Nazi movements, just to name a couple.
That series is called Swedish Politics Decoded, and you can find it at our website, radiosweden.se, or via the Sveriges Radio app. And we're also a lot easier to find in the app nowadays. You just need to scroll across the top bar until you find news in other languages, then choose English. We'll also be having interviews with party leaders in English coming up soon as the election campaign kicks off. Now we're moving on from how Ebba Busch thinks she's perceived by immigrants in Sweden to how Swedes perceive the global superpowers China and the United States. In the spring edition of the 2026 Global Attitude Survey from the Pew Research Center, released last week, the big news was that China's now viewed more positively than the United States in most countries that were surveyed.
Yeah, so the centers asked 42,000 people across 36 countries about their views on China and the US. And when it comes to Sweden, the US really seems to be plummeting in popularity among Swedes, dropping from 55% in 2023 to only 19% this year. At the same time, 27% of the Swedes questioned are positive to China, increasing from 12% in 2023. So the question is China gaining momentum in Sweden? Or is America rather losing its appeal?
To find out more, we spoke with Jan Hallenberg, who is a Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the Swedish Defence University. To start off with, what stands out to you the most about the results in this edition of the survey?
The fact that so many people in so many countries have a more positive view of China than of the United States. It's very strange results indeed.
Do you think that these results say more about the development in China or more about the US?
It says more about the US because China is more or less stable. It projects power internationally, but it is not as erratic as the United States under the leadership of Mr. Trump.
So I guess if this is more of a Trump effect rather than a Xi effect, what sort of factors are at play here? What do you think Swedes are thinking about when they were answering this question?
I think they were thinking about the treatment that Mr. Trump and Mr. Vance made of President Zelensky in the White House Oval Office in, I think, February 2025, when they were very rude to him indeed. And secondly, the plans that Trump has said he has of taking over Greenland from Denmark. These are two examples that I feel very many Swedes are very negative towards.
So it's a question of very specific cases of actions from the US.
Oh, there are more cases than these. I just selected the two most obvious in my estimation. I wrote an article for a Swedish daily a couple of months ago saying, do we really want a world that is erratically governed by Mr. Trump? I mean, he says that Cuba will fall into my lap, and he says that I will decide the future of Iran for 90 million people and so on. I think these are additional examples of treatment of the world that is not acceptable for many Swedes and for many people in other countries as well. I mean, there are other examples, the treatment of the EU when it comes to trade negotiations, for instance, and the many insults that Mr. Trump has directed towards the NATO allies also contributes to this negative estimation of many Swedes and many other Europeans towards Mr. Trump.
Given that a lot of this comes down to Trump's behavior and his erratic approach to governance in the US, do you expect that there would be sort of a rebound in these polling figures were President Trump not the president?
I think if there were a Democrat, something close to Biden, figures would change. I mean, they did last time. There were similar opinion polls during Mr. Trump's first period in the White House, and the figures were similar to what we see now. And then they rebounded when Mr. Biden came into office. So I believe that if a Democrat is elected, the figures will change in a positive direction. If Mr. Vance or Mr. Rubio is elected, it's more unclear what will happen.
We see that in European countries like Spain, Italy, and even the UK, the US is now lower in favorability than China. Do you think there is any chance China is experiencing a kind of renaissance in the eyes of Europeans?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's only in comparison to the United States and what many Europeans seem to perceive as the stability of Chinese foreign policy as opposed to the erratic nature of U.S. foreign policy. That's the decider here. I don't think there's a sort of love for China. It's only in comparison to the U.S. that they look better.
Right. Well, why do you think the credibility is so low for these countries in Sweden?
I think that in the U.S. case, it's Mr. Trump, as I tried to outline. And in the China case, I think many Swedes are very aware of the domestic oppression that goes on in China and how human rights are treated. And also, to some extent, they understand that China is behaving very aggressively in Asia, for instance, in the South China Sea, where they try to harass other countries such as the Philippines and Vietnam and drive their wishes to have the whole South China Sea, even though an international court has stated that this does not belong to the Chinese.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Jan Hallenbaddi, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the Swedish Defence University. Europe is sweltering through its third heat wave of the summer, and while Scandinavia's gotten more mixed weather this week, Sweden's been quite warm at times this month. Not that this stops people here from going to the sauna though, Samuel, and you've been trying to find out why this week.
Yeah, I went out to a sauna this week that's open during the summer, and when I was there, the temperatures had gone down a bit again. We're back to Swedish chilly summer vibes, but the air in the sauna still felt very hot.
I'm Saana Sipilä from Turku, Finland. So we are all kind of like sauna enthusiasts and we like to visit new saunas and we haven't been here before.
It's quite warm outside, I would say, at least for Swedish standards. We are in mid-July. Why do you want to visit the sauna right now in peak summer?
For me, it's like a tradition that goes throughout the year. So I like to go cold swimming in the winter, but it's kind of a different experience in the middle of summer. And this week in Finland, it was over plus 30, but I still like to go to sauna because after going to sauna in a hot day, then maybe the air outside feels cooler as well.
So it's actually like a strategy kind of.
Yeah, kind of like maybe something similar in India. You drink a lot of hot tea in the hot days, so maybe the hot sauna makes the air feel nicer as well.
The municipally run sauna in Hornstull in central Stockholm opened just last month, with the pontoon with the sauna on it being transported to the site by water. At this sauna, you can only book for two people per booking, which is an attempt to avoid larger groups occupying the space. On most days since the opening, however, the sauna hasn't been fully booked, and on several days, people have even cancelled their bookings, according to the sauna manager, Emmy Remgård.
Because a lot of people think that the experience of going to a sauna is also to have a dip in the lake. And since we take samples of the water, and for a few weeks now, we haven't recommended to have a swim in the lake, but right now it's okay.
To many people's disappointment in the hot weather, the water hasn't always been safe to swim in parts of the country this summer. Like Radio Sweden reported last week, some Swedish waters have recently been affected by algal blooms and bacteria. The sauna has then put up a warning sign, and the staff have informed visitors that the municipality advises against swimming in the waters by the sauna. But Mia Flores Sierra, who is a sauna host here, explains that many people haven't cared about the advice.
The majority do not care, and they are quite used to it. And especially the ones that do visit saunas regularly or bath regularly. And we have had a lot of people ignore the advice and still swim, even when there was advice not to.
And Emmy Remgård still thinks it was necessary to open the sauna in the summer.
But it also has to do with practical things, because we had to bring the platform with boats, and we also had to bring the house from another place, and we had to put it together. And because it's ice during the winter, we had to do it in April, May.
Mia Flores Sierra is not a big sauna goer herself, but she's hoping to try it when temperatures drop again, this fall or winter.
I also want to try it out, especially because I've never dipped myself inside of ice-cold water.
And both Emmy Remgård and Mia Flores Sierra think that when temperatures drop, bookings will go in the other direction, up.
I think a lot of people prefer it when it's especially ice cold, because there is, well, health correlations to it by dipping yourself in very cold water and then going inside the sauna. And there's also many people, beginners, that just want to try colder water. It depends on the person, on how you handle temperature in water.
That was Mia Flores Sierra, a sauna host at Hornstull's Bastun in Stockholm. And finally, we're taking a look at one of the biggest buzzkills in the summer months, especially in the Stockholm area, algal blooms at your favourite swimming spot.
So last week, I had a chat with a researcher from the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences who's been studying these blooms around the country. She said we need to decrease the nutrients going into the water from agriculture and waste, for example. When too many nutrients dissolve in the waters, it gets eutrophic, leading to excessive algae growth. But now researchers at another university, the Luleå University of Technology, are testing a new airing method to tackle the widespread green soup. And their technology is being tested in a natural lake for the first time ever, namely Lake Svartbyträsket in Boden, up in the country's north, a lake that's quite precious to locals. Lina Hellström is a senior lecturer in applied geochemistry at Luleå University of Technology.
So it's quite a big lake located in a subarctic climate, and it's also located in the city center of Boden. So it's quite an important lake for the people who live there. They want to go to swim in the lake and they do fishing. In the winter, they do ice skating and the snowmobiling on the lake. But since 30 years, it has been polluted and it's eutrophic. Every year it gets algae blooming, and the municipality has done a lot to improve the water quality of the lake, but remediations that they have done has not been sufficient enough.
Now researchers from the Technical University are trying to fix this problem. So what is this project about?
So the project, it's a pilot study that is looking at the possibility to pump or inject nanobubbles of oxygen into the water. When you have an eutrophic lake, one of the problems is that you get anoxic bottom water, and this creates like a whole circle of nutrients that are flowing in the lake and are feeding the algae. But if we can create an oxic water profile, then we would like remove this circulation of nutrients, and hopefully the algae would not have anything to feed on. So this is what we are trying now, and we are in a very early stage of the process.
So basically, the nanobubbles would take away the food for the algae?
That's right. And when scientists inject these tiny little nanobubbles, which are ultra-fine submicrometer bubbles on the lake bed, it will, together with the iron that's naturally there, create rust, and that will merge with nutrients that then fall to the bottom. Here's Lina Hellström again.
So this nanobubble technology has been tested in, I think, in Thailand, in Japan, maybe? As far as I know, and this is the first time we try it in a natural lake that is the size that this is, the ones I have seen, they have been more, maybe a small pond that is more human-made.
But this is just one nutrient-rich lake, and it's only about 2 square kilometers. In terms of the possibility for scaling up their approach, Lina had this to say.
There's a lot of different parameters that has an impact on if the technology will work or not. But of course, the aim is not only to do research for a pretty small lake in the very north of Sweden. So if we can show that it works here, of course, the hopes are to show that it can also work in other places. And I think that if the lakes are much smaller than the one we're looking at now, then maybe this technology that we are already using could be a possibility to try in other lakes. But then it's consuming electricity, of course, to run the pump.
What's interesting about this lake is its location. It's only 900 meters away from the Stegra factory, which is a huge industrial project based in Boden that aims to produce green iron, steel, and hydrogen gas using renewable energy. And one of their main residues is oxygen. The company is involved as advisors in this project, but Lina Hellström says they don't want to get too dependent on one company.
When we talk about research, it's important that we look at the technology and then it's not completely based on one company, because it depends on, should not be dependent on their future. There's other hydrogen production producers in Sweden and in the world, and eutrophic lakes are a problem everywhere.
That was Lina Hellström, a senior lecturer in applied geochemistry at the Luleå University of Technology. And that's all for this week. Who's playing us out, Sam?
So the Swedish pop group Roxette from the 80s still has very dedicated fans. Their hit It Must Have Been Love has just gotten over 1 billion views on YouTube. It was first released in 1987 and was later a part of the film music for the movie Pretty Woman in 1990.
Very 90s.
Very nostalgic indeed. Bye for now.
Hej då.